So we're going to talk about coveting. And this is defined as desiring possessions that belong to others and planning how to obtain them. So this is the mind of I want. And so I appreciated thinking about this as full-blown attachment. Because then it makes me think, wow, that's really never going to get you anything. You know, because it's so exaggerated. So in this one, the object can be anything that we desire. It can belong to other people. It can belong to someone in our family. It can be something that nobody owns. And we can covet any kind of thing. And this is what I always had kind of wondered about, because I wasn't sure, and I'm glad I've clarified this. It's not just an object, like a possession. It's also a quality, like, say, a talent or something that somebody else has. And that fit with my experience of watching my mind around those things. It seemed to be very similar kind of energy. And they say it's especially harmful if you covet something that's like the triple gem, like I really want those seaweed things that are on the altar, then I'm going to go get them. You know, so that's not good. Don't go there. So that's the object. And then the complete intention has the three branches. So we recognize the object for what it is. And we have the intention or the wish to get it. And then we have some affliction, and which in this one is usually attachment. But it wouldn't have to necessarily start with that, but it would probably end with that. So it might be something like, oh, wouldn't it be nice if I could have this? Or, you know, I sure wish I could have that thing. And it's so nice and make me so happy. So that, and then the action, because this is all on the mental level, now the thought is developing. And this just kind of flows from one to the next and goes, like, wow, I really wish, I think I'm going to get this. I'd really like to get this thing. So now you're kind of moving more into action. And then the complete action is, I'm definitely going to get this, and this is how I'm going to do it. Because now you've got the plan. And you've moved into that next phase. So all of these, you know, you can see how in that those last three, the intention, complete intention, the action, the completion of the action, they're just kind of a flow of thoughts, one moving into the next, strengthening. And this is why it's good to kind of have an idea about this, because then as you see that happening in your mind, you might be able to cut it and you can say, well, now I'm like planning. I think I'm pretty far along here. Maybe I better really slow down. And so this is good to differentiate. It's good to differentiate the difference between like coveting and something that's a positive aspiration. So there are things that are useful for us in our life. And then there are things that we covet and plan and scheme and connive that are things that really aren't that useful for us in our life because we've over-exaggerated their good qualities and we have that energy, you know, of really scheming and conniving and all that. And so aspiring is different from that. That's kind of recognizing the value of something that really, it does have that value. And we're seeing it act really in our heart is moving in that direction, but it doesn't have this kind of frenetic energy that comes along with coveting. So coveting has overestimated the value of something. And then we cling and grasp and plan. So we could aspire to have bodhicitta in a really wholesome way, or we could actually covet it. So this is, I thought, was interesting to think about, because especially the thing of like, because it's good to discern what positive aspiration is and what this is a kind of, in a sense, the same energy as one of desire. So it's nice to make this discernment. So this is when we look at bodhicitta, we're not overestimating the qualities of it when we're seeing it correctly. And then our mind has this faith and aspiring for that, you know, and it's a light, hopeful quality of the mind. Versus if you were to have an incorrect understanding of bodhicitta and thinking only of how it might benefit you, like if I had bodhicitta, then, you know, if you didn't understand it correctly, you might think, oh, and then people would respect me and I'd be something special. Yeah, I want bodhicitta. Well, that wouldn't be a correct understanding of bodhicitta, and then you could be coveting it, you know. So I thought that was interesting to read. And then the result, similar to the cause for coveting, was interesting to see, is that we can't complete our projects. And it's because the mind is always jumping around. It's like never satisfied. You know, I want this, I want that, and you want so many things, you never complete anything. And so we're always involved with this energy, and it's always dissatisfied, and we always drop that and start something else. So then we can't fulfill our wishes and our hopes, and we're always dissatisfied. So that's kind of the result, similar to the cause. We can't complete our projects. So just in closing, one thing I read that I have kind of a reaction to, but then I listened to something else that helped me. I thought I'd share this. Because when Buddha spoke about this in one sutra, the sutra is called The Foolish and the Wise Person. He says, his action marks the fool. His action marks the wise person, O monastics. Wisdom shines forth in behavior. By three things the fool can be known, by bad contact of body, speech, and mind. By three things the wise person can be known, by good conduct of body, speech, and mind. And I always hate it when they call us fools. And then I was listening to his teaching by His Holiness, and he says, you know, it was so funny when he said this, you know how they talk about the 84,000 afflictions we talked about the other day? We boil it down to the three poisons, but there's like these 84,000 afflictions. He calls them the 84,000 fools. And then he says, and you also have 84,000 like constructive things in you. And those fools, they're on a basis that won't last. They're based on ignorance. They can't hold. Their foundation doesn't hold. So they are 84,000 fools that we have in us, and they aren't going to overtake the 84,000 good guys because they have a solid basis. So I find that a little easier to take when I hear about fools.